start with something a little different than go to the usual. This is a compilation, an ecstatic compilation of little portions here and there and stitched together to make a theme of Srila Prabhupada speaking on a topic, and there's several. This one is, the topic is Lord Chaitanya's mission and his mercy. And just a little give credit where credit is due, one of Prabhupada's disciples named Lakshmi Moni, she spends at least a week putting each one of these together. She really, it's like an art form. And then she reads. She's a very good dramatic reader. Plus, she's also very familiar with the subject matter. And it comes at the very beginning of our GBC meetings, our strategic meetings. Everybody in the room, completely quiet. No shuffling papers, no moving chairs, no side conversations. Complete attention, because Prabhupada is going to instruct us. That's like, we wait like a full minute for complete silence. Everyone's attentive. Our mission is, Lord Chaitanya's mission is, to teach everyone how to love God. That's all. Today, the world has become a hell because of an excess of atheists. And this is due only to the preaching of Mayavad philosophy by enemies of the Supreme Lord. Lord Chaitanya's mission is to save the jivas from the clutches of these offenders. So I am especially proud of how my householder disciples are preaching Lord Chaitanya's mission. This is a new thing in the history of the Sankirtan movement in India. All the acharyas and their descendants later on acted only from the man's side. Their wives were at home, because that is the system from old times, that women are not required to go out. But in Bhagavad Gita we find that women are also equally competent like the men in the matter of Krishna consciousness movement. Therefore, please carry on these missionary activities and prove it by practical example that there is no bar for anyone in the matter of preaching work for Krishna consciousness. We are thoroughly instructing both men and women how to preach, and actually they are preaching wonderfully. Both men and women are preaching the gospel of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Krishna with redoubled strength. It is a principle that a preacher must strictly follow the rules and regulations laid down in the Shastras, yet at the same time devise a means by which the preaching work to reclaim the fallen may go on with full force. Krishna Katha is the only remedy for all people of the world, because it can situate one in pure consciousness of the self and liberate one from material bondage. To preach Krishna Katha all over the world, as recommended by Lord Chaitanya, is the greatest missionary activity, and all sensible men and women of the world may join in this great movement started by Lord Chaitanya. These boys and girls have given up all intoxication, but now they are intoxicated with Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. That is the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. A draft board officer. Draft board means military, says you must come and leave your school or leave your job or leave your family and join the army. That's the draft board. A draft board officer came to see one of our centers. He said, "What is this facility you have given these boys who have joined the Hare Krishna movement? It must be easier than the army. But when he investigated, he saw that these boys and girls are prohibited from engaging in illicit sex, intoxication, meat-eating, and gambling. So he concluded that this movement is actually harder than the army. The army does not make these restrictions, which are very, very difficult to follow. But by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, these boys and girls are following them. Every human being should accept the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is the purport of this verse Rupa Goswami offered to Lord Chaitanya upon seeing him. Namo Mahavadanyaya. You are the most munificent incarnation of God. Why? Quote, you are distributing Krishna prema, love of God. People do not know what God is, and yet you are distributing love of Godhead. Just keep this, your attitude of sincere service, and without a doubt, Krishna will give you all intelligence to serve him nicely. Krishna is not ungrateful, but rather he sees our efforts and appreciates our sincere service. Krishna is interested to see how we engage our energies in his service. We are very small, very insignificant. But what can we do? Simply he wants to see that we are engaging our time and energy in his service. Always remember to abide by the laws of Krishna as described by his bona fide representative, and the passage of going back to Godhead is assured. This is Krishna's mercy. But pure devotees do not even want to go to Krishna's abode. Simply our prayer should be, my dear Krishna, please remind me to always chant your holy name. Please do not put me into forgetfulness. You are sitting within me as super soul. So, you can put me into forgetfulness of remembering you. So please, do not put me into forgetfulness. Please, always remind me to chant. Even you send me into hell, it doesn't matter, just so long as I can always chant Hare Krishna. Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda are singing one very nice song in which they are requesting everyone to please chant Hare Krishna and come along with them. So that is our request to everyone. To be continued. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Going to continue Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 3, Chapter 16, and we're going to finish the section where Narayana is speaking to the Kumaras, and we'll cover text 9 and briefly mention 10, 11, and we'll finish with 12. So Lord Narayana is praising the position of the Brahmana Vaishnavas, the exalted Kumaras, saying, even the goddess of fortune doesn't leave me because of my quality of service and submission and protection and love for those who are my devotees. And we heard that he enjoys, in the eating department, more than eating through the fire, which is one of his mouths, many mouths, the yajna fire, where oblations by qualified brahmanas are offered, than the brahmanas themselves who are taking the prasad, which they only accept after it's been offered to him, but he prefers to enjoy through their taking of his prasad, through their mouths he enjoys. So, text 9. This is one of these, in a series, of verses of juxtaposition. Some statement is made, and there's something that's very contrasting to that statement that's made, elevates the second statement to a very, very high position, although the one that's spoken first is so elevated. So, the Lord is speaking about himself. I am the master of the unobstructed internal energy and the water of the Ganges is the remnant left after my feet are washed. That water sanctifies the three worlds along with Lord Shiva, who bears it on his head. If I, who am the source of all those things, can take the dust from the feet of the Vaishnavas on my head, who will refuse to do the same? I, who am way up here, I take the dust of the feet of the Vaishnavas upon my head, who will not do the same? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The difference between the internal and external energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is that in the internal energy or in the spiritual world, all the opulences are undisturbed, whereas in the external or material energy, all the opulences are temporary manifestations. Very clear, yes? The Lord's supremacy is equal in both the spiritual and the material worlds, but in the spiritual world, called the kingdom of God, whereas the material world is called the kingdom of Maya. Maya refers to that which is not actually fact. The opulence of the material world is a reflection. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita that this material world is just like a tree whose roots are up and branches down. This means that the material world is the shadow of the spiritual world. Real opulence is in the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, the predominating deity is the Lord himself. Whereas in the material world, there are many lords. That is the difference between the internal and the external energies. The Lord says that although he is the predominating factor of the internal energy, and although the material world is sanctified by the water that has washed his feet, he has the greatest respect for the brahmanas and the Vaishnavas. When the Lord himself offers so much respect to the Vaishnava and the brahmana, how can one deny such respect to such personalities? End of purport. Yadyadacharati shreshtas tata devi turarjana. Krishna's appreciation, love, his dedication, commitment, submission, honor, etc., towards his devotees. As we read earlier, he says, I think that My glories have increased because of this quality of mind. And of course, we discussed the devotees think their qualities, if there's anything, it's there because of association with the Supreme Lord. He thinks his glories have increased because of association with his devotees. And particularly his quality of affection and love for his devotees. This is very confidential. Confidential in the sense that we're getting to understand the mood and the mind and the feelings of the Supreme Person. It's one thing to know God exists. I'm having some dialogue with someone who has found some nice things, some merit in some parts of Christian teachings where the teaching has sets of prayers and ways of feeling, coming close to God, feeling the presence of God as they move about in their life, different ways of doing that. So I ask them, what do they feel? If you look at Bhagavad Gita through the lens of these teachings, what do you see? And then the other way around. Through the lens of Bhagavad Gita, you look at these teachings, and what do you see? And, you know, they see something through the lens of Bhagavad Gita. They see something that's Krishna conscious, but not complete. Because it's one thing to acknowledge, this is like the vibhutis, or whatever it exists, the presence of God is there. We're discussing a little bit this morning about misfortune. Krishna is very kind. Even in misfortune, Krishna is there and Krishna is very kind. Apparent misfortune. Because detaching ourselves from things temporary and drawing us to that which is eternal, that gesture on Krishna's part is kindness. Because in fact, everything here is temporary. And we may think, oh, kindness is I get things that I like. And then we get attached to things that we like and forget Krishna. So if we don't get some of the things that we like, that's kindness. It's another kind of kindness. It's a special mercy kind of kindness. Because not only does Krishna take away the something that we're attached to, but in its place he gives, what does he give? He gives his lotus feet. That's described in the fifth canto, Bhagavatam, the prayers by the residents of Jambudvip. They're praising various powerful personalities in the universe, and then they finally get to the Supreme Lord and said, he's the most praiseworthy. He's the most praiseworthy because he doesn't give material benedictions if people approach him for them. Because he knows they'll become attached to those material benedictions and forget him. So he's very kind. He doesn't give material, just answer those prayers. And then they go on to say, but if he does so in such a way that they'll never ask for those things again. Because along with those